for our Christmas series, as we go on a journey in Preparavior, each sermon will focus on a popular Christmas hymn. We'll look at A Journey of Longing, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, A Journey of Searching, What Child Is This, A Journey of Humility, O Little Town of Bethlehem, A Journey of Joy, O Come All Ye Faithful, and A Journey of Celebration, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Journey of Humility from our series, A Journey. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Journey of Humility.
Other than one of Moody's associates, found him at night in the middle of doing this, offered to help to get it done and help him return all the shoes back to the rooms of their owners. Dwight L. Moody emptied himself. He didn't have to do that. He could have looked at his own status. He could have just determined, I'm hosting this. Why would I stoop so low as to do something like that? He could have probably even demanded that people do it, but he did it himself. The question becomes, even though we know we have the right not to, are we willing to be overridden by God to do so? Jesus is a king who became a servant. I just, again, for a moment, process this. This is the creator of heaven and earth. Everything that exists, exists because of the word of his power. A king who became a servant. He is 100% God, who took upon himself 100% man. I am not a mathematician. You can ask my wife. She always has to help me with the tip. thank God for cell phones with calculators. So I'm not a mathematician. But I kind of like how God's math works here. Jesus emptied himself. And in the emptying of himself, he didn't lose anything, but he emptied himself by adding something. 100% God, 100% man. So the emptying was him wrapping himself, if you will, in humanity. He is worshipped in glory but rejected on earth. In my sanctified imagination, I think the angels in heaven look down on earth sometimes and watch us and watch people reject Christ. And they go, what's wrong with them? Like, do they have any idea? Does it dawn on them? One of the passages that has always struck me is the one that says he came unto his own and his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men, according to Isaiah, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. When I was growing up in the church, the old folks used to say, when they would talk about what Jesus did, he didn't have to do it, but he did. Saints, I know that's not kind of written in the Bible anywhere, but it is a truth. He didn't have to. He chose to. And in choosing to do so, he knew he would be rejected by his own creation. But he did it anyway. Again, I believe in being transparent. If it was me, and that plan was laid out in front of me, and it was talking about saving you, and how you might act towards me, be like, you got the wrong dude for the job. He didn't do that. He possessed the attributes of God, but he chose not to use them. The one example I always go to, saints, is in the garden. When they came to arrest him, Peter took out a switchblade, sliced off an ear. Jesus says, "Peter, chill. Man, seriously, listen. Let me break it down to you like this. You know, for 3 years you've been hanging with me, so maybe you still don't understand. If I called my father to send legions of angels at this precise moment, it would make your head spin. His divine prerogative said, I can do that. His passion for us said, I choose not to. Let me ask a question, and we'll hit that last point and move forward. If you were in trouble and somebody provided a way of escape for you, they provided an out, would you take it? Thank you, Maria. That was hearty and audible. Amen. You could take it. Because you'd be smart to take it. Jesus not only didn't have to do it, but in the middle of it, he had an out. I call legions of angels. They would say, we got this. But he chose not to. Oh, and by the way, in the middle of all that, he picks up the ear and says, come here, bro. Come on, y'all. Even in his suffering, and even in his betrayal, and even in his, he's healing. He was equal to God, but submitted to God. And so let me just say this, and we'll move forward, that when people look at this issue of Christ and his subjugation to God, understand that it has nothing to do with his essence and his being, his quality. He is God. What Jesus did in this situation is said, as the Son of God, as Jesus, I will positionally subject myself to God. That was a choice that he made. Again, it does not make him less than God, but what it does is, as his role as the Son of God, he is subjected to the will of his Father. He willingly did that. And so he emptied himself. And next, on the road to humility, we want to see that this means something with regard to Christ, but it also means something with regards to the believer. For Christ, as a servant, he took upon the form of a servant. He became like us. What does that mean for the believer? Since we are servants, we are to serve God. We are to worship God. We are to humbly submit ourselves to God and his will for our lives. Next slide. Suffering. He was made in the likeness of men. He was subject to the same weaknesses, if you will, that we do. He was hungry. He grew tired. Again, he did that on his own volition. For the believer, we are to serve God, but we are also to, in our response to suffering, we are to have a godly response when wronged. I'm just going to ask, y'all pray for me, church. Because you see that point right there? Godly response when wrong? I'm not quite there yet. I turned 60 in March, this past March. And I go, I don't know when I'm going to get this right. Not sure. No, there's not a whole lot of time left. When am I going to get this right? Sacrifice. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I was watching a video And in this video, it was college races. They were doing relay races. And I believe it was several colleges, but there was one young lady from Boston College who, not too far from the finish line, just gave out, collapsed. I'm not a runner, never been a runner, never intend to be a runner, but my instinct, my gut would tell me that if I'm running in a relay, my focus is to finish. And not to be distracted by stuff that might be going on around me. So as this young woman from Boston College collapses on the track, a young lady from Tate College stops, comes back, and lifts her up. This was so powerful. This young lady from Boston College was so spent and so weak that she just kept collapsing, which was taking down the young lady that was trying to help her. Another young lady from Louisville College came up on the other side and lifted the girl up. Now both of these runners are helping this girl, and I mean, this is how she was doing one of these, as they were both, you know, both had her arms around their neck, and they are trying to get her to the finish line. Christ suffered because, let's be honest, I collapsed. I was broke down. There was nothing in me. And he came along and he picked me up and threw my arm around his neck. And listen, the goal, oh man, the goal, saints, get Emil across the finish line. All right? And Emil will probably hobble and probably trip up and stumble, but I have my arm around the neck of the Almighty. And I do know this, as faulty as I might be, the finish line is in view. And that I will make it because he made it. He suffered for me. He did not have to. So the question then becomes, what am I willing to sacrifice for my God? There is, before we move to the last point, there is a passage in Hebrews chapter 12, and it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Then it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I've seen different interpretations of that. And I've always taken it to mean, enduring the cross, despising, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That he saw his exaltation, and that was the joy that was set before him, and he endured the cross, because he knew what was coming. It's not what that passage means. Not to say that that wasn't the ultimate outcome. The joy that was set before him and why he endured the cross is, if you happen to have a mirror in front of you, pull it out and take a look at it. Who do you see? You and I. And our salvation and our redemption was the joy that was set before him. And again, saints, recognizing the fact that, you know, somebody said, you think Jesus died for his health? He wasn't doing this for his benefit. He was doing it for our benefit. Sacrifice. Next slide. So the results of humility and exalted designation. Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him in Philippians 2:9. God has highly exalted him. I want to kind of take you back to what I started out with. My good buddy Roscoe. He wasn't willing to give up that bone because that bone was his. And in his mind, he was probably thinking, oh, I'm going to enjoy this bone later. Maybe give me a good glass of milk, sit back, watch a football game. You know, we do that, right? I got some popcorn. I got some pizza. I got, you know. He was going to enjoy that. Why? Because it was his. And for him, the reward was enjoying it. As we stated, the joy that was set before Jesus was our redemption. An outcome of that is that God highly exalted him. That God has lifted up the name of Jesus above every name in earth, under the earth, in heaven. So the results of humility is this exclusive designation that he gave him a name which is above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Saints, everybody is out. I shouldn't say everybody. A lot of folks are really out for themselves in this world. And again, you know, we all want to end up well. We all want to do well. And I don't think God has anything against any of that. I have long since recognized the fact that titles, what do they mean? Titles are good. They are descriptors. They help people understand things. They give people clarity. But there are people who simply seek titles in this world. I want to be president of this. I want to be owner of that. I want to be this of this. And here's my perspective on that. Whatever the title is, whatever the name is, God has given Jesus a name that is above every name. So no matter what my position is, no matter what my title is, no matter what kind of authority I have, at some point, at some day, my knee will bow. And oh, by the way, I can bow it willingly now. Or if you will, be forced to bow. But saints, God has made up in his mind that this Jesus is the only Savior. He is the only Lord. He is the only one who stands head and shoulders above anything or anyone else. God says, Jesus is my man. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Jesus is the one who is our advocate. When I act stupid, and that happens quite frequently, Jesus stands on my behalf. We are so unworthy. So unworthy. But he has done this for us. And so the result of humility is this exalted designation and exclusive designation. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But saints, as I close, let us please just take this back to the beginning. That Jesus has this highly exalted status because he chose to empty himself. He chose humility. I have shared this story a lot, but it is one of my favorite illustrations. And I'm going to leave you with this today because I truly think that it speaks to what truly serving other people brings to us. There was a man who had a vision of heaven. And in this vision of heaven, he was escorted into the heavenly realm, walked through the gates, saw the beauty and splendor of heaven. And he was being shown around all the different facets of the kingdom. And at one point, there's this massive door. And it was a door to a hall where people were enjoying a feast. And so the door was open. And when he looked in, he saw this table full of sumptuous food. I mean, neck bones and collard greens and chitlin. I'm just kidding. He saw more food than just could meet the eye, and that anyone could, you can't even consume this much food. And it was just amazing. But as he looked around, he saw that the people sitting at the table were despondent and sad. Their faces and their heads were down. And he couldn't understand this. How can you not be enjoying this feast? And then as he looked, he realized the utensils that they had were really long. And so when they would scoop up food, couldn't turn. They didn't have enough radius. They didn't have enough length to be able to feed themselves. And so in desperation, they simply gave up. He was led to another section of heaven. Same thing, massive door. Door opens. Same scene. All this food. All this, again, more than you can even imagine. And he noticed the people were happy and fulfilled and joyous and smiling and engaged. And he couldn't understand it at first, because when he looked, they had long utensils just like the other room did. The difference was they took their long utensils and they served the person across from them. Saints, do you want to be happy? Seek humility. You want to be satisfied? Be a servant. God has such joy in this for us if we simply do as he told us to do. I'm excited this morning that God has given us in this Advent season the opportunity to go on a journey. A journey of longing, a joy of searching, and today a journey of humility. My prayer is for each one of us that we have taken God up on this, and that we seek to make personal application of the truths that he has given us in his word. Not just this season, but today and tomorrow and every day beyond. May part of our prayer when we arise in the morning, God, who can I serve today? How can I serve today? Who can I be a blessing and a benefit to today for your cause and for your will? Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Journey of Joy from our series, A Journey. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Journey of Humility, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Humility. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Humility from our series, A Journey. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Journey, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.